Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 129, the Getting Started with Appliqué episode. It is Thursday, November 7th, 2013. I'm sitting on my porch to record this, even though it's a touch chilly, but I just love these end of the fall insect noises that I hope are being recorded so you can hear them too. I'm out here with Travis, and we hope he will not get excited about anything that will cause him to bark and make a lot of noise. Oh, he's looking very, very sweet, like he would never do that. Well, I have spent part of this afternoon reacquainting myself with how to do appliqué using fusible web. Some point, I can't remember if it was this spring or last fall, Jay, aka Art Quilt Maker, and I worked on an applique block for the sampler quilt that Jay is helping me with. And at that time, I don't recall having any huge problems. Well. When you listen to the Quilt Diaries, I believe it's the first one where I go on and on about the applique pattern itself and how the drawings are printed on both sides of the page, and do I need to make extra copies because it seems to me that's not going to work, and did I miss some instructions because, you know, I just was having a hard time envisioning, because I had this vague recollection doing applique with fusible web that you put the web sort of on the back of the sheet of your pattern and then cut out. So you put your piece of paper with the pattern side up onto the sticky side of the fusible web. And I'm using, by the way, Steam to Seam 2. So it's got sticky stuff, I think, maybe on both sides. Anyway, and I was just like, well, if you do that, then how can you use the patterns that are on the back of the page? Blah, blah, blah. And I had gone ahead and had scanned the pattern anyway, which is very brilliant of me because I mess things up all the time. I thought, oh, I need to actually print out extra pages so that I have access to all the pattern drawings. You'll listen to me, and those of you who know anything about applique will laugh and laugh at how crazy I am, although I do admit that it's quite possible I'm missing something, which I do, and this is my bad math brain, my bad visualizing brain, why paper piecing gives me a headache, but I'm going to try to learn it. It's all of that. So today, when I actually sat down to trace the patterns, I messed up first time around, but that often is what happens to me, and that's how I learn. And I thought, okay, I'm doing this wrong. Clearly, because the way I was doing it, I knew things would not work out the way they needed to. So I'm like, I'm going to start over. I'm going to read the directions on the fusible web one more time, and then I got it. I understood. So yay, a breakthrough. This is how I go. This is how I work. This is how I learn, by making mistakes. So when you get to the Quilt Diary where I go on and on that applique and are the instructions wrong and do and help me and I figured it out, don't laugh too hard. All right, so I posted the episode last week, which I talked about finishing my Halloween quilt and getting started on my Thanksgiving quilt. I've done very little work this week. In fact, today was the first day I did any quilting work. I've been really busy helping out with the Folk Life Institute. I'm hoping that tomorrow's Friday and the boys have off school. I've got a few things to do. We've got a conference with Jack's advisor. That's why there's no school. It's conference day. And we have that at 11:30, and then I'm getting my hair cut at 1:30. But otherwise, I'm going to be free, and I plan on working on the Thanksgiving quilt. I'm happy to say the boys got the report cards last week. They both did really well. Both of them 4 A's and 2 B+'s. Excellent. And Jack got an A+ in biology, and Will got an A+ in history. So yay, we're very pleased with their report cards. All right, I want to thank everyone who commented on last week's episode, and I want to remind you, if you want to comment on this episode, and I hope that you will, you can come over to my website, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and you can also email me at f, as in Francis, fdowell@nc.rr. Kind of sounds like a pirate, rr. Thank you to Terry and to Noni. Thanks to, where are we going? Okay. Another from Noni, from AJ Dub, from Brenda F, who's one of those people who's a frequent commenter in her mind. And she, let's see. Oh, she was talking about my desire to improve my machine quilting skills. She found the crafts to be on basic machine quilting, be too basic, as I did as well. And she found that Leah Day's machine quilting, a sampler, was really helpful. So I'm going to check that out. Thanks, Brenda. Sorry, I was just going down to the next one. It's just Tori. Yay, Tori. Let's see. Tori's just chatting, and she's lovely, as always. And it's really good to hear from you, Tori, and tell your family I say hello. Heard from Kelly the Fifth and Rose from the UK. And she's listening, yes, from the UK, I believe I just said that. And she said that she's glad I'm enjoying The Paradise. She is about to watch the current series this evening, followed by Downton Abbey. Is that Downton Abbey season 4? I just noticed on PBS today that you can pre-order season 4. I don't know. I'm going to just wait till it comes out on TV, because last season irritated me to no end. And I don't know, right now, the man and I have been watching Parenthood. It's kind of amazing to me that the man is watching this. I think he was just looking for something to watch, maybe this summer? And so he started watching it on, I think he watched season 3 that, you know, was up online, or, I don't, you know, on TV on demand, whatever, one of those demand channels. And then, or not, maybe not on demand, but you know, prime time on demand, that's what it was. Somehow he started watching it, and it's such a soap opera, and I think he went back. I'm not positive. He may have gone back then on Netflix and watched the early seasons. And now we're watching season 4, and it's driving us crazy. We have not started, we have an idea for a drinking game, which is whenever a character on Parenthood says, "I get it, you drink," which you would be totally drunk by the end of the show. That's a, they'll be talking to each other, like, "I get it, I get it." And we actually have really good character impersonations down now. So we're having fun. But, you know, we live at the level of our language. What we, you know, they say that babies don't think until they have language, right? And it, and going from that, if you have a very simple vocabulary, the sort of thoughts you can articulate to yourself are going to be limited. We also live at the level of our stories. And I think so many of our storytellers on TV and shows like Parenthood have gone nuts. What makes me crazy is when characters start acting out of character just to advance plot. And that is happening on Parenthood. I don't know if you watch it, but there's a character, Amber, who started out as a really interesting character, kind of a troubled young girl, bright but damaged by her parents' divorce and the fact of her alcoholic father. And at this point, it's like that Amber is gone. There's all the stuff that's totally unrealistic, including the fact that she doesn't appear to have a job. She used to work at her uncle's recording studio. You never see her there now. She lives in this funky apartment. She has a great wardrobe, fabulous clothes, fabulous hair. Her mother doesn't have a job either that we can determine or that we can see. And yet Amber's just looking great, dressing great. She also is very bright, and this, it was a big plot point a couple seasons ago that she got great SAT scores and applied to Berkeley and did not get in. And so she put off going to college, and she's never gone to college. It's like, who doesn't go to college, who could go to college, who's that smart? I mean, all of that stuff. And now she's engaged to this soldier, And there's no, and you, other than the fact that they're both really attractive young people, you're like, why are they together? What do they have in common? He's clearly troubled, although they seem to be dropping some of the stuff that he, I know, if you don't watch Parenthood, you're like, ah, but even if you don't watch it, I think you can understand what I'm saying. You know, it's like character, you can't just change your characters because you have to forward a plot. The plot is forwarded by the characters staying within character and coming into conflict with other characters, coming into conflict with themselves, with the man, whatever. So anyway, we live at the level of our stories, and Parenthood is letting us down. I think a lot of movies are like that too. They don't make sense. That is why everybody is so crazy these days, because our storytelling so often does not make sense. I think there's still a lot of books where the storytelling makes sense, but that drives me crazy in books, too. Characters, people, we all know people, we know ourselves, we know each other. We know it. People, they really don't change that much. Our circumstances change, our jobs change, our relationships change. We more or less stay the same, plus or minus 10 pounds. I mean, please. So, that's what I have to say about TV. All right, we're going to get on with the Quilt Diaries, and as I think I say at the end, the last Quilt Diary, which I just recorded this morning, or this afternoon, not positive that I'll be back next Thursday, because I am going to see my parents on Sunday, and we'll be coming here, I'll be home late Wednesday night. Now, what my plan with the applique, by the way, now that I figured it out, right now there's just a lot of work involved tracing and cutting, and I think I'm actually going to put the applique quilt stuff down until I go to my parents, because I'm going to spend a lot of time Monday and Tuesday just hanging out with my mom. She's doing her last round of chemo, yay, and that'll be great. I'll knit and I'll work on the applique stuff. So tomorrow and Saturday, while I'm still here, I think I'll really work on Thanksgiving quilt. Why did I bring that up? I don't remember. Anyway, so maybe I will have some stuff to talk about with all the ways I'm going to mess up the applique stuff that I'm working on. I don't know. I'm going to take my recorder with me. If I've got stuff to say, I will say it. Otherwise, maybe I'll have something on Friday or Saturday. I'm trying to be good. All right, on with Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Monday, November 4th. 2013. I have just been scanning. Oops, I'm in my kitchen. I'm bumping into things. I have been scanning one of the patterns for my Christmas applique quilt. Now, I did that. Originally, my thought was, oh, I might mess up. I should make scans. It's very wise. As I was doing it, as I was making the scans, I realized these patterns are printed on both sides of the page. So there are all these little bits and pieces for the sleigh barn where Santa's sleigh is parked when not in use. Right? So there are all these drawings and they're on both sides of the page. I'm like, well, it's a good thing that I'm making copies, right? Because I can't, you know, I've only done one round of applique, and I'm going to put this out there on Twitter if I can figure a way to explain my issue in 140 characters or less. But it seems to me, so you've got the pattern over here closing the door. Travis just came in from outside where it's quite nippy. Anyway, you've got your sheet with your little drawings on it, right, that you're going to cut out, but first you're going to put your piece of sticky applique paper, right? You're gonna put that down on the paper. I mean, I've done this once. So, and then you iron it all, you transfer all the stick to the fabric, and then you cut, right? That's how you do it. You transfer the pattern to the fabric via your sticky applique sheet of paper, right? And then you cut your pattern out, and then you have your piece. And you can't really then use the drawings on the other side. Now, maybe you're going, yeah, duh, because it seems to me that it's got to be that way. My brain gets twisted up really quickly. The math problem, right? Hush. Will's on the phone with his friend Wynn, and he's laughing. So, watchdog. Travis, come here, baby. Oh, what a good watchdog. Yes, you're a good boy. Anyway, so my brain, it gets twisted around because I can miss really obvious things. And so I'm going, in that. You can't use both sides of the sheet, right? You can't. And you're saying, well, why don't you read the directions? I did. And I kept looking in the directions for the place where it says make copies of this pattern. You're going to need to make a separate copy of the back side of each pattern sheet because you can't use both. You can't use the back and the front. But it doesn't say, I haven't seen where it says that. And maybe for so many people, that would be really. Just this hugely obvious thing, or maybe I'm totally wrong. And when I sit down, I'll go, oh, and actually start the process. I'll go, oh, you can use both sides of the sheet. I'm not seeing that though. I don't know how that could be. How could it be? Maybe it's possible, but I don't see it. So, should I find myself totally correct on this? I don't know. Maybe I should write. The keepsake quilting people or the woman who wrote the pattern and say that was not clear. And for those of us who have very little appliqué experience, although you claim that this is a pattern for beginners, and I'm not saying it's not, but beginners need things spelled out. But maybe I'm totally wrong. I'll be back. I've had Will's bug, which is, why I have not done any cutting whatsoever, just scanning the patterns. On Saturday, I didn't really ever believe I wouldn't get Will's bug. We all got Will's bug. And it's not a terrible bug. You got a fever, you feel kind of tired, you get a little heartburn after you eat and feel a little worse right after you eat, although you do get hungry. So there's the need to eat. Okay, so maybe Friday when the man was sick, Will was sick, and Jack came home from school with a fever, and I still was not sick, which is usually not how it goes. It usually goes Will, me, Jack. And the man, maybe, probably, but he's so stoical that he'll never admit it. He did admit it though, and I felt of him like you're really hot. Anyway, but not a horrible bug and not a long-lived bug. Although Jack's kind of, you can tell, it's like he hasn't missed any school this semester till now. And usually, by now he's usually gotten some bug or another. But he's got that, he's still got a fever. But you can tell he's kind of starting to like, it's late in the day. He's like, is he gonna go to school tomorrow? He's starting to build his case for not going. But we also went to school and picked up his book, so he's doing his homework. So who knows? By the way, boys' report cards came on Friday, both really good grades. And that's been an interesting wait for us with Jack because we have not been on him about his grades at all. We were kind of like, it's up to you. You can take this seriously and do the great job we know you can do, or you can, and we'll stay out of your hair to the extent that it's appropriate to stay out of your hair, and let you be as independent as it's appropriate for you to be at this age. But if you don't get good grades, then we are all over you, and you will come out of your room, and you will be working downstairs. Blah blah blah. But he got beautiful grades. And Will did too. We were really pleased. Because Will thought he was going to get like a C plus in math and maybe a C plus in Spanish. And he got B pluses in both. So we were really happy. Yeah. So anyway, Jack, if he misses another day of school, he'll be fine. But maybe he's gotten, maybe got such good grades because he didn't miss any school. I can hear Will coming down. So I'm going to have to pause and not forget where I am about my pattern because I've digressed. Anyway, because of the bug, I've moved now into the dining room. The sound quality is different in here. No cutting, because I'm smarter than that. But I did go on Saturday, amazed that I had not gotten the bug, wondering, is it possible? But not filled with hubris about not having the bug, because I knew I probably was going to get it. And I went to Wish Upon a Quilt, where as soon as I walked in, like the fever hit. I was like, ugh. But I went ahead. One of the things, as I mentioned in the last episode, that I like about Wish Upon a Quilt, it's got a lot of pre-cuts. And batik pre-cuts, which is because this pattern is suggested that you use batiks, was really, really convenient. Lots of fat quarter batiks. So I got, I think, everything. I think I had a few, some fabric here that I knew I could use for it. But so I did, and I brought the pattern with me. I had everything. I did not buy applique scissors. I don't know if I really need them, but I might. But that's the kind of thing. Want to support my independent stores? Yes, but like using that 40% coupon on the applique scissors that cost $20 at the independent stores. And I don't even know if I'm really going to use applique scissors. I might. Anyway, but I was glad to get that out of the way. But when I came home, I just was like, I've been hit. I'm down for the count. Now it's Monday, and I feel 80% fine, a little bit tired. But I think by tomorrow I'll feel absolutely fine. And Will is good, and he went to school today. Anyway, this thus begins my adventures in applique, more than just the block that I did with Jay with her constant support. I may be getting a little bit more support from Jay over this process, but I am excited to move forward. And I'm trying to think. So I posted Thursday. I have been cutting for the Thanksgiving quilt, but did not cut on that. Once I got sick, because I just think that's just a really good way, even though not sick, terrible sick, fever sick, you just should not be using a rotary cutter. So I am not, but I look forward to getting back to the cutting on that tomorrow. I do probably need to work and make a living as well, but I'll try to fit that in somewhere. I'm waiting for my new contract. And, and I actually, as I may have mentioned, have like 130 pages of a first draft. So I'm sort of feeling like, I don't know if I want to do any more work on this until I get that contract in my hand. We shall see. I will get the contract. Anyway, it's a little nervous making this part of the process. Like, yeah, bring it on, bring on, give me the paperwork, let me sign on the dotted line. I am reading a lot about quilts. I have pulled out, and maybe tomorrow I'll talk about this, because I did find a book in the library about designing, figuring out how to quilt a quilt, and I need to sit down with a notebook and take notes and learn that. Wanted to ask, has anyone taken Angela Walter's negative space quilting on Craftsy? Because that looks kind of cool to me. I love that kind of quilting. It's beautiful. I got a comment, and I'll refer to it, obviously. By this point now, in your listening experience, I probably will have talked about this. So I gone, but I mentioned one of the Leah days and thought that that was better than the Ann Peterson class that I'm enrolled in but haven't finished. I am doing some reading on quilt history. One of the projects we've talked about doing at the Folklife Institute is a kind of Quilt Trails of North Carolina book. They are already music trails, two books. I don't know if we will actually do a book, but certainly could do something on the website. And so I feel, so it's interesting learning about what's been documented about North Carolina quilts. And in fact, there was in the mid-80s, a big exhibit started off with a documentary project, in which all over the state, the word went out, bring your quilts to this spot, probably the public library on this date, and we're going to document them. And it ended up being a huge project. The committee that did this, it was a committee and tons of volunteers, and they had a questionnaire, and they had documentation papers. It's all, you can access the committee's work or the documentary work through the Quilt Alliance site, and as well as the North Carolina Museum of History site. But so they did really stringent, if that's the right word, or strenuous, maybe strenuous is, or just very detailed documentation. Although, unfortunately, not as many pictures on the site I went to as one would have hoped for. But I think every quilt was photographed. They thought they were going to get 5,000 quilts. They got 10,000. It took a long time. But one of the conditions was it was quilts up through 1976, because they wanted to make sure that the really old quilts were documented, since quilts don't last forever. And so essentially we're heading into what, 40 years? Is that right? 20, 30? Yeah, about 40 years of quilts that have not been documented. And it's, I mean, it's a huge undertaking. Also, with the mid-1980s North Carolina documentation project, they didn't get a lot of African-American quilters. And in the book I'm reading on North Carolina quilts, put out by UNC Press in 1988, the whoever wrote the introduction, who's on the committee, the project committee, said, you know, we put out the word, we know there's not a huge sampling of African-American quilts. They just, people, African-Americans did not come out, did not bring their, by and large, did not bring quilts to be documented. They don't say about how the word got out. You know, again, if this is, we're talking mid-80s, which seems pretty much, you know, modern times, but modern times in the South, and I'm just wondering if the word went out through guilds. And, you know, if you go to the Durham Orange Quilt Guild today, there are a lot of African-American quilt makers. There's a very active African-American quilter circle here. And a lot of the women from that also participate in the larger guild. But, you know, back in the day, it may have been, if the word was going out through guilds and white churches, African-American quilters may not have been fully aware that that project was going on, but that's clearly a huge lapse, you know, an admitted lapse, an admitted problem. But anyway, so those are quilts that need to be documented. So it'd be interesting to try to get some sort of documentation program going. Now, this is my Sabbath year, which I don't think I've talked about. You know, I'm 49. I turned 49 at the end of May, and so I'm supposed to be resting this year, and I'm trying, and so I'm trying not to take on any big projects, although it's, you know, and there are plenty of little projects to do around my house and little projects that need to be done at the Folklife Institute. But this is a project that's going to take years and years, so anyway, but it's been very interesting to read about the history and also reading a really good book, which is a book I have checked out a couple times from the library, but more just to look at the pictures. It's called A Communion of Spirits by Roland Freeman, who is a photographer and folklorist. And I think what's interesting, I think one of the reasons I really have started reading at this time was because, you know, my interest in doing folklore has grown so much. And I think in the past, I'm not sure that that really struck me in any way, that Roland Freeman, not just a photographer, but a documentary photographer and a folklorist. Anyway, he's African-American. He grew up, started in Baltimore, and his grandmother was a quilter, and a lot of the women in his family quilted. I think his mother did as well. When he was 12, he started getting into trouble, and his family sent him into more rural part of Maryland, where he lived with a family. And there were also a lot of quilters. And it's interesting because there's a lot of, he really feels spirits in quilts, and he feels that there are quilts that are invested in spirits. There was a quilt they had in his family called the Healing Quilt. And if you got sick, you were wrapped in the healing quilt. He tells a story. So he was always very interested in quilts. And so when he is older, I can't remember quite how he got looking for African-American quilts in the South, but he did. And so he has stories about going, he's in a small town, I think in Mississippi, and everyone says, oh, you need to go over to Miss Bessie's house. She's got these amazing quilts. Maybe it's Betty. I can't remember her last name now. But anyway, she's got amazing quilts. And he's in this area for a long time, I mean, for like a year, and he keeps going over to her house. And she won't talk to him. She knows who he is. She knows what he's doing, that he's in town documenting all these quilts. And then one day someone loans him one of her quilts.
and he sleeps under it. And he dreams about her and this older woman coming down the road toward him. Well, the next day he goes to her house, and she's like, "So you dream, so, you know?" And she's friendly to him. She says, "Come on in, you know, and let me show you the quilts." And she said, "So you met my grandmother?" That's who, you know. And she's like, "Yeah, that's. I'm assuming you're here because she told you to come today." So there are a lot. There's some stories like that that are really interesting and cool, and you don't quite know what to make out of them. But it's not really my place to make anything of them, other than think, "Wow, that's kind of interesting and cool." Anyway, so ends up going all over the country and documenting these quilts. And one of the things that was interesting to me, because I think a lot of people, including me, became aware of African American Southern quilters through the Geesbind quilts, which are, as you most likely know, undoubtedly know, are very abstract. They're strip quilts. I mean, they're beautiful and amazing. Most of them, not all of them, but you know, but they're a particular kind of quilting. And what's interesting to me reading this book is how many of the quilts are traditional quilts and beautiful, beautiful quilts, but they are traditional patchwork, traditional blocks, amazing quilts, but it makes you realize, like, oh, wow, there's, you know, a wide variety of quilts everywhere in every community, and you can't say, well, here's this is an African, you know, this is what African-American quilts are, because looking at the pictures of the book, it's like, nah, you can't just pin it down to one thing. So it's a really, really good book. And Susan, the history quilter, I should probably email you this because you're busy and you may not hear it. But there was an interesting history story in it, and I thought about you. And it had to do with, I think it was in sometime in the late 70s, early 80s, but the Smithsonian had a number of quilts collections, including the fame by African-American quilters, including that famous, I think it's Harriet Powers quilt, her Bible quilt. And they wanted to make copies of these quilts and sell them in the gift store, which, you know, some quilters found problematic to begin with. And then, but they were sending the patterns, the people they were getting to do the copies were in China. And a lot of people were really unhappy about that. So it became this kind of controversy at the Smithsonian. So, yeah, I'll try to email you or message you on Twitter in case you don't hear this. But I thought of you. It's an interesting little controversy. Anyway, so I'm reading lots of quilty stuff, quilt history that I'm finding interesting, and thinking about a documentary project that we can do at the Folklife Institute. And also just a gathering of information, not just about guilds, but about quilt circles and quilt bees and modern North Carolina quilters, because I think that's important. One of the things I was thinking about today when I was thinking about all the stuff and my fever, I'm not that fever today, was, you know, the thing about quilting as a traditional craft, you know, it has this life that there are a lot of the other traditional crafts don't. And it almost, you feel like, you know, part of what, like, the North Carolina Folklife Institute and the North Carolina Folklore Society, there's a lot about, you know, a lot of the work we do is around traditional crafts, and partly because a lot of the work that's done is about, at this point, is there's a lot of tourism connections, because that's where the grant money is. And, you know, and so what people, and people are interested in traditional crafts and traditional arts as well. And but, you know, a lot of it feels on its way to extinction, but quilting is still so vibrant. And I think there are a lot of different reasons. I think if you decide you want to take up quilt making, that's a lot easier to do than taking up blacksmithing or even pottery. You know, I mean, a pottery wheel is expensive. The time, you know, if you can sew, you can make a simple quilt. You know, and you can kind of do it on your own, and you can get books. I think that, you know, I think it would be hard to be a self-taught blacksmith. That's just a thought. I could be wrong. So I think that's part of it. But I also think it's like quilting just has this great social dimension, and now that dimension includes social media. in podcasting and you know, all the blogs that's it. I think that's part of the fire that's under quilting that keeps quilting alive. And then you have newer quilters and new, you know, you have people who are making the traditional quilts, but you have people who are doing really funky new stuff. And I think any craft needs that, needs new blood. So those are my thoughts for the day. I actually need to go get dinner ready. I made soup last night. We're having more soup and bread and salad. That's very nice, isn't it? It's a tortellini soup. It's quite easy and quite nice. It's got some sausage in it and some mild Italian sausage and then chicken broth and diced tomatoes and some tomato sauce, a little oregano, a little basil. Bring it to a boil. You put in your tortellini. Oh, and some zucchini. And it's very easy to make and it tastes good. And I cooked it yesterday, so I don't have to cook it today. But I better go heat things up. So that is it for now. I'll be back. Quilt Diary Day 2. This is going to be brief. Could come back later to talk more. I don't know, but I'm just sitting here taking care of business, and I got an email from quiltingdaily@interweave.com, and there's a book coming out in December called Vintage Quilt Revival: Modern Designs from Classic Blocks. I really see this. I've been wondering, what's next for modern quilting? Love the modern quilts, but I feel, and I just assume I'm not the only one who has done some work with modern quilts, really enjoyed them, and at the same time want more technical challenges. So love the look, but kind of getting bored with the process. This is the direction I think it's going in. Now, if you recall the Mary Fonz talk from QuiltCon, and if you didn't watch it, I think you should. It's on the Craftsy site. It's free, and it's a great talk. She's a really good speaker. And she talks about sort of that tension between modern quilting and traditional quilting and the attitudes each group has about the other. And she also talks about her love of the block. And looking at these pictures in front of me, so there's like a sampler quilt, and the blocks are gorgeous. But and the blocks are modern, but they're gorgeous. They look like they involve some degree of skill. There is some of the other pictures are. There's a table runner, there's a very cute bag, there's a really neat pillow. I'd love to see this book, but this is what I think is at least one of the directions. I wonder if another direction is a kind of art quilt. I mean, modern quilts, you know, as I've said, I think there's a lot of overlap, you know, with art quilts and modern quilts. I mean, what Jackie Gehring is doing is she's making modern quilts. They're also art quilts, so... But I love the quilt that's on the cover of this book. I think I may ask for this book for Christmas. I love the colorways in the quilt. They're bright. They're vibrant. The background, interestingly, is gray. It's a very light gray. But even the cornerstones, you know, they're these great, you know, turquoise and pink and yellow, and just really it's neat. So I find this an exciting development that's happening here. I had a thought about modern quilting recently as I'm thinking about all this stuff, thinking about the quilt trail, the North Carolina quilt trail, but I wish I could remember. I'm going to pause. I don't know. It may just have been as simple as one of the reasons quilting is staying vibrant is people, they're young people coming in to the craft, and they're bringing new ideas and fresh ideas and new community in. It was more what I thought was a little more complicated than that. It'll come back to me. Anyway, I just wanted to share. The author of this, by the way, is Katie Clark Blakesley. Oh, three authors. Katie, then Lee Heinrich, and Faith Jones. So look for it. December 5th, I think, is when it's coming out. And let me know what you think. All right, then. More soon.
Quilt diary day two. Three? I think I did a little brief thing. Yeah. Anyway, whatever day it is, it's Thursday, November 7th. It's my brother's birthday. Yay. I am walking and talking through my house. I am about to go to lunch with Joy, the executive director of the Folklife Institute. We're talking about website development. But I thought I would go ahead and just finish up. I don't have any new quilting news. I have not, so it's Thursday, I have not done any quilting this week. Partly I'm doing a bunch of work for the Folklife Institute, walking and talking. Walking in the wrong direction. It's just been kind of an intense week. It's very fun. It's so good for me to have this because, you know, I really can just write about 3 hours a day. And, you know, I'm not really committed to doing more than 30 minutes of housework a day. Sometimes you have those big cleaning sessions, but you know, kind of whatever, laundry. I make the boys' beds because they don't care if they're made or not. I don't really want the hassle of making them make their beds every morning. I'm the one who likes them made. And I also think I'm modeling something for them. Like, isn't it nice to come home and your room is orderly and relatively neat? Yeah, so I know some people would think I'm slack, but I just want them made. It makes me happy, and it makes me happy not to have to yell anyone to do it. But anyway, so housework, I do some. The house is fine, but I could probably clean the bathrooms more than I do. But anyway, so there's still a lot of time left in the day now that my children are pretty self-sufficient and at least keeping themselves entertained. So for me to have this work to do, which I really love and is very helpful to someone else, is really great. And some, you know, there's some weeks I don't do anything for the Folklife Institute, and there are other weeks like this week where I probably will, by the end of the week, put in, you know, maybe 15 hours. But I love Joy, and I love Deborah, who is the administrative assistant who started working there in the spring, and she is fabulous. So it's really also good for me just to go over there and see people. So I'm enjoying that, and it's been really fun work, but it's meant not a lot of quilting work. Now, I hope this afternoon when everybody's home from school or when, you know, actually when, yeah. Anyway, that I will get some quilting done. I still am nervous about starting my applique quilt, but I think I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to bite the bullet and give it a shot and get started. So I may do that this afternoon. And if I do, you will already know about it at this point because I would have talked about it in the introduction to today's show. So this is old news, but I am just ending up. It's been a good week. I'm going to Kentucky to see my mom on Sunday. She's about to start her last round of chemo. Yay! She is really excited to be getting this over with. She has felt pretty good this week, she says, and has been working on a quilt. So yay for that too. Anyway, I don't know about next week. If I'm going to have a podcast or not. I'm going to try because I think it's good for me to be on the weekly schedule. It's just easier to have a schedule and keep to it. That's like I was reading, I think probably in The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin, which is a wonderful book if you haven't read it. But I think she talks about where, you know, you're more likely to stay with your exercise routine if you just do it every day. And it's just part of your day. You get up, you get the kids to school, you do your exercise. It's not, maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't. You just do it. It's part of your routine. And so podcasting for me is like that. It's just better to do it every week. Obviously, I love doing it. I'm always happy that I've done it. But if you get off schedule, then it's harder to stay in your routine at all. So anyway, so I may do something. Who knows, maybe I will end up doing some quilting while I'm in Kentucky. So I'll get there Sunday and be there Monday and Tuesday and come home Wednesday. And I might, you know, because there'll be some time at night, given that my dad goes to bed like at 7. I'll have some time on my hands. So maybe I'll have some stuff to stay. I'll try to remember actually to bring my digital recorder with me. All right, I got to go comb my hair, go to lunch, talk about website development. Hope you're having a great week. I hope you are getting your quilty stuff on. That's not my motto either. One of these days I'm gonna stumble upon this great, you know, great closing slogan, you know, quilt long and prosper. Who's gonna top that? No one is. But one day I'm gonna Not there. So I'm just going to say bye. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for listening. We'll talk more soon.